We have a special morning today where we've invited Peg Byers from Return Ministries to join us by Zoom. She's going to be touching on some of the things that are going on in Israel and with the Jewish people around the world. Bob and I have been walking together through this. We wanted to greet Peg Byers together. Bob has a special relationship with Return Ministries. He's had some interesting adventures with them. We have a relationship with Dean Bai from Return Ministries and with Peg Byers and others. And it's been an exciting journey. And we're very excited in our spirits today with what we're about to hear. And also very excited with this community. Okay, Bob.
Good morning, Peg. Her just due, I think she's part of the backbone of the whole Return Ministries. She holds the fort when Dean's traveling all over the world, and her heart is for Israel. She gave up banking many years ago to become service to Israel and to the Lord, and I just appreciate her a lot. And we're just going to turn it over to her, and she's going to share with you this morning about Israel and Aliyah, the return of the people to Israel. There'll be a Q&A right after she speaks, so we'll turn it over to you now, Peg.
Praise the Lord. Well, I want to honor Chuck and Bob for their enthusiasm for the process that we're going through with helping Jewish people home. But I want to honor West Ottawa. You know, the things that remind me of you guys are so sacred. Way back, it had to be about 2008 or 9, and maybe Chuck, you have the date, where we brought a Jewish lady, an elderly Jewish lady, to West Ottawa one Sunday. Her name was Mrs. Bloom, and we honored her. We brought funds to help her with her Aliyah. Some of our people and your people went and helped her pack her luggage and get her home ready to close up and go to Israel. And then one of our girls, Danielle Terrio, who was serving in Israel at the time, she would go and visit her where she was living in the Galilee. And as far as I know, she had a Filipino caregiver who was with her to the end, who was a believer. And so we're believing that that lady that you lifted up on your shoulders in West Ottawa all those years ago is now with the Lord in heaven. So this is what our role is. But I want to say that Ottawa holds a special place in my life, because when I was in the process of leaving Watchmen for the Nations, who many of you know about, I needed a place to go and to really hear the Lord of where I was to go and what I was to do. And the one that invited me to spend time in her basement, 8 days, as a matter of fact, was Annie Elliott, who I'm sure all of you know. And Annie's home was a sanctuary for me. And in those 8 days in her basement, fasting and praying, the Lord gave me the direction that I needed to go into the next step and the next step and the next step. And the final one was joining up with Dean Bai as he began to establish Return Ministries in August of 2003. So we're in our 21st year in this ministry, devoted totally to helping the body of Christ, not only in Canada, but North America, and Dean travels a lot internationally, but helping them return to the proper understanding of this precious word of God, right from Genesis to Revelation. And it's so important that our foundations are settled in what God has said. And that's what we based the establishment of Return Ministries on. So the first return was that the body of Christ would return to a deeper, full understanding of what our role is as Gentile believers. The second return is what we're talking about today, the return of the Jewish people to their homeland, to their inheritance, to the destiny that God has called them into. And we do that by loving on them. We don't advertise. God sends them to us. And God also sends the sponsors that help to finance and to pray for them and to encourage them. And today, your congregation over these past few weeks has been a sent congregation to establish a beachhead in the heart of a family, the Bernstein family, knowing that there is a body of believers in their God that loves them enough to help carry them home. And we'll talk about the Bernsteins a little later. But the third return is so important, And when Yeshua, Jesus, said in Matthew, "You will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And so the return of the church to their understanding, so they can help the Jews return to Israel, is all to welcome the return of our Jewish Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, to Zion, to Jerusalem. So you can see that it's like a circle. And I want to say that today I count it not only a pleasure, but an honor and a privilege to be brought into your service to share with you a little bit about the journey that we should all be on, that the Church of Jesus Christ should all be on, that you are on. And I celebrate that and thank God for that. I was at a meeting just recently of the Jewish National Fund, and they gave us a bracelet. And it says on the bracelet, "Bring them all home." And they were referring to the hostages, but I think there's a much bigger meaning. And it's bring them all home, the Jewish people from North America. There are many Jewish people in Ottawa, and I know that your pastor and the different ones from other churches are meeting with them and making sure that they know that there's a body of believers in their God that are standing with them. We're going to talk a little bit about anti-Semitism too. Pastor Chuck asked me if I just touch on that, and I'll do that right now just so that we can get on with the rest of it after talking about this. And I want to say that when you look at anti-Semitism, I don't think we really understand the full meaning of that. Because when you look at Semite, the Semites are the descendants from Shem, who was Noah's son. And all the descendants of Shem are not just the Hebrew people. And anti-Semitism seems to be concentrated on the Hebrew people. But the Semites were also the Philistines, which were kind of the forerunners of the Palestinians, if we can call them that, and the Arabs. And so God's got a bigger plan. He's got a plan to bring all people to faith, and he's offering it to all people. And so by anti-Semitism, we've got to stand up. There's a scripture that says, without knowledge, people perish. And without a knowledge of the solid word of God, we don't have a leg to stand on. But when we know the word and we speak it out in situations where we're being either persecuted or questioned about what do we believe, truth sets people free. And a word spoken with truth has the anointing of God on it. And so we've got to get tougher. I'm really sensing that this whole thing about anti-Semitism, God is wanting us to toughen up. If we think we're hard done by today, it's going to get worse, because Jesus himself said, in this world you will have persecution, but fear not, I've overcome the world. And so he wants us to toughen up, to prepare, to not be afraid. You know, there's three parts to that scripture in Revelation. We overcome the enemy by the blood of Christ, number one, by the word of our testimony, how he has interacted with our life and brought us out of darkness into life. But the third one is that we're not afraid to lay our lives down unto death. And I really believe that the martyrdom that's happening in our world today, maybe not in Canada yet, but certainly in the Eastern nations and in Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, all these countries, India, Pakistan, the church is growing there. The church in those nations is growing there. And so by laying a life down, we sometimes bring life, open a door to bringing life. And that's what we want to do, as we stand up and say, I am against the narrative that's going on in the media, in the government, in the worldly realms. I'm against it. And this is why. And then tell them why. Stand up on the principles of God, so that we can truly say that we are representing the Holy Spirit that is in us. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And when we open our mouth, God says, I'll fill it. And so I adjure each one of us to be bold in our witness, to not run away from conflict, because there's a lot of it going on out there. And that's the devil's purpose. I mean, he wants to stir everything up against God. He's still angry for being tossed out. Well, his days are very numbered. And so in the time that we have on this earth, we want to stand for truth because truth sets people free. Amen. So thank you, WOCC. Thank you, Ken and Lois Hall. Thank you for the groundwork that you've done in Ottawa, for the love that you've expressed to the Jewish synagogues and rabbis and gatherings there in Ottawa. And the best is yet to come, because when we stand with them and when we come forth and make our presence known, they know they're not alone. And I want to read a scripture to you that's very stirring. We want to talk a little bit today about the mystery. And the mystery is being revealed now. And I wonder if the long period of time between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and now is the mercy of God. The mercy of God that has been offered to us when a significant thing happened. The Jewish people for whom Yeshua came turned away. We were part of that turn away, but in effect, they turned their back on the one that came to save them. He came for the lost tribe of Israel. That mercy that we then received allowed us down through the ages, in whatever form Christianity was taking at the time, to come into a knowledge that Jesus is the Savior, that his blood sanctifies our lives when we accept him, and that our eternal salvation is in Christ Jesus. You got to go all the way back to the first Exodus to understand the groundwork that was laid by God as he was bringing the Jewish people out of exile with the Egyptians. That blood of the lamb that was put on the doorposts is the same blood of the lamb that is put on the doorpost that God invites us to accept Jesus Christ. That mercy is why we are here today, naming Jesus as our Savior. And it's an amazing, amazing supernatural gift that God has given us. But now, as we look at Romans 11, we see that there's a time where the fullness of our lives in God, in Christ, has got to now have an action. And I want to read to you Paul's words from Romans 11:11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And then he talks about us provoking them to jealousy, that we realize that the gift that we've been given has given us life, and we've been grafted in to the olive tree of Israel. If the first fruit is holy, verse 16, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, that's the Jewish people, and you, us, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. If you do boast, remember, we do not support the root. The root supports us. We are supported by the Hebrew understanding of the word of God. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off. But we stand by faith, faith in Christ. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward us, goodness, if we continue in his goodness. Otherwise, we would also be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be regrafted in again. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, who are the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? And then we come to a most significant verse. For I do not desire, Paul says, that you, my brethren, should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. We're in that age. We're in the age where the church is coming to a place of being unblinded by the full mystery, and to know that the mercy we received, we now must offer it back. How do we offer it back? Through loving on the Jewish people and through helping them home. Because in helping them home, we're bringing them back to the place where God says, I'm going to restore the sanctity of my holy name by bringing those people back that I had to expel to the nations because of their idolatry. And I'm going to bring them back and I'm going to cause them to hallow my name. And when they hallow my name, I will not only touch their hearts, but I will release the knowledge that I am the Lord to all nations. This is part of the Great Commission. The return of the Jewish people is part of the Great Commission, where God can then reveal himself to all the nations. And so we must realize that Aliyah is a profound act of faith and obedience. In helping a Jewish person home to Israel, many go home blind and deaf. In fact, that's the only way that the Jewish agency and the government will allow them in, if they still have not realized that their Messiah is the Jewish Yeshua. But they come home blind and deaf, many of them. But then God promises in Ezekiel 36, 23, down to the end of it, he will pour out a spirit on them that will cleanse their heart, which will chip away at that icy heart, give them a new heart, and they will know that he is Lord. And they will bring them back and plant them in the land. He says in Jeremiah 32, 41, and I will plant you in the land with my whole heart and my whole soul. And I want to recommend to you some tools, because you are Aliyah ambassadors. As you have seeded into the Aliyah of the Bernstein family and Mrs. Bloom, who's now hopefully in glory, you have become Aliyah ambassadors. And so you need to be armed with things that will really help you. And the National House of Prayer in Ottawa, I think you may know Chris Byberg and his wife, Marilyn, they are coming together with us and other ministries to hopefully establish churches in every one of the 342 federal constituencies to be praying for Israel weekly. And one of the things that they have done is they have captured 12 messages on their website, nhop.ca, nationalhouseofprayer.ca, and it's under Canopy of Prayer. And those are 12 different messages that would help you as you mix with other Christian people that still are blinded to this fact that the mercy they receive needs to be given back to the Jews. And they'll really help you. Messages in there about anti-Semitism, messages in there about the mystery. And so I really encourage you to look over the next maybe 12 weeks in a Bible study to listen to those messages, dig into the scriptures, and just get them planted in your heart and in your mind so that when you open your mouth, you can speak truth. And then Bob Narraway will remember a character by the name of Jed Robine. He's an American who, when Bob fell into a wonderful situation with Return Ministries, where we were going from one end of the country to the other with 10 white trucks in 2015, a lot of years ago, and we called it Loving God, Blessing Israel. And my sidekick that's right here in the room with me, Sharissa, she was one of the younger ones that was on this trip. It was about 33 to 36 drivers driving 10 white trucks across the nation. And they brought the word of God about helping the Jewish people home. And people began to donate gold and silver. And God just opened up the scriptures that we were to be part of the restoration of Israel. It was a marvelous time. And I'm sure Bob has shared a little bit about that from time to time. But anyway, this character, Jed Robine, has written a book called With His Whole Heart and Soul by Jed Robine. And I think your pastor has one. Bob, I think, is going to get one from one of your congregants. And it's 50 pages long. It's an afternoon read or an evening read, but it highlights the things that we need to know. Why Aliyah? What about the Father's heart? How are we to lift them up on our arms and shoulders, as Isaiah 49:22 says? And then this one, the mystery of the one new man. And the mystery of Israel's salvation, Israel and Auschwitz. They will come trembling from the West. And what is the call of the Gentiles? And what is the signal? So I encourage you to get onto Amazon and get it. It's just $6, I think, something like that. And read it and share it. Get a whole bunch and share it with your friends, because it's another tool that you can use. And I'm telling you that as God sees a congregation coming alive in being his arms and his legs to bring his precious firstborn home, you are going to see blessings come upon your congregation like you've never seen before. But I also know that we're coming into some very difficult times. And that's why I don't want to sugarcoat this message that everything's going to be rosy. No. God has prepared us for that by letting his son be very clear that we're going to face persecution, and that in that persecution, the character of Christ is developed in us. And I really feel that's important. What is the character of Christ? Well, every one of us will have a different answer to that because of our own experiences. The Father says that when Christ is formed in you, you will be like him. Wow. We will be like him. And what did he do? He laid down his life so that every one of us, both Jew and Gentile, could come into a saving knowledge of him and be with the Father for eternity.